welcome to day 12 of our series that we've been doing, The Curious Characters of Christmas. And today, tomorrow, and the next day, for the next 3 days, we're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 9 and looking at the different names for the coming Messiah in this passage. Now, what's interesting is this passage in Isaiah 9, it does refer to Jesus coming and gives these names, but in the broader context of Isaiah 9, it's really about the millennium kingdom. So what is that? Well, just a quick little end times survey. I believe, and I know there's different opinions to this, but as in my study of Scripture, I believe that there's going to be a major event called the rapture. And that's when Jesus is going to come in the sky and he's going to rapture up the church. Everyone that has repented of sin and placed their faith in the finished work of Christ, that we're all going to go up with Jesus into what really I call it paradise, kind of the temporary heaven. And then for 7 years, there's going to be basically hell on earth, this time called the tribulation, 7 year tribulation period. It's going to be horrific. In fact, by the time it's all done, 3/4 of the world's population will have perished. And you could read through the book of Revelation to learn more about that. But it's going to be a time where God punishes sin, where he purifies the nation of Israel. And then after that 7 years is the second coming of Christ. Christ will come down. We will join him down on earth. And that will usher in the millennium kingdom, which means it's Latin for 1,000. 1,000 years, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And Isaiah 9 is a description of these 1,000 years and gives a description of how Jesus will lead. And so let's go ahead and, and by the way, when that's done, then the new heavens and the new earth, and for all of eternity, we will spend an eternity with God in heaven. But specifically, the millennium kingdom, I like to call it the front porch of heaven. It's a 1,000-year reign of Christ. We'll be perfect. We'll have transformed body, but not everyone. Because if people lived through the tribulation, they'll be part of the millennial kingdom as well. And so, but for us that know Christ, we will be perfect. We will reign with the perfect Savior. And so that's really Isaiah 9. So let's just read verses 6 and 7. It says this: "For to us a child is born, to us a child is, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called." Notice what it says, the government shall be upon his shoulders. In other words, he's in charge. He's the world leader in the millennium kingdom. "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Jesus will reign. All right, he'll fulfill the Davidic covenant, the covenant made that through the line of David, someone will reign for all of eternity. Of course, that's ultimately Jesus. Now, we're going to focus on the four names. And today we're going to look at just one of them, Everlasting Father. Now, that might seem a little confusing because Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. All right, we have God the Father, we have God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit. Well, he's the Son. Why do we call him the Everlasting Father? Well, he's the Son in that relationship within the Trinity. He's the Son of the Father, but he will function also like an Everlasting Father. Now, think of it this way. Not so much Father in as we would understand it, but in the sense of the father of our country, right? We had our country had four fathers. George Washington is sometimes called the father of our country. I didn't mean he was literally the father of everyone in America, but he was the father of the nation. And so that's kind of the idea, is that Jesus will function as the father of the millennium kingdom. And what does a father do? A father provides and a Father protects. And by the way, everlasting Father, which means that will always be the case. There will be never a day where he doesn't function in that role for all of eternity. How does a father function? Well, they're, among other things, a provider and a protector. Fathers provide and protect. And that's one of the roles that Jesus will have, is he will provide for us and he will protect us. Now, you might be thinking, listen, if I'm perfect in the millennium kingdom, why do I need a provider and protector? Well, it is true. We're perfect. We'll never sin again. All of those things. But there will be unbelievers who are part of the millennium kingdom because they survived the tribulation period, and then they had kids, and those kids had kids, and those kids had kids, and over that 1,000 years. In fact, Revelation says that at the end of the 1,000 years, as much as like the sand on the seashore, tons, Jesus will be let out of the abyss. Satan will be in the abyss for 1,000 years. He'll be let loose, and there'll be one last rebellion. But we don't have to worry about that, because Jesus will be our provider and protector, and he will defeat Satan one last time, cast him into the lake of fire for all of eternity. So we will be protected and provided for in the millennial kingdom. But I also want to suggest that he functions like an everlasting father now in our lives. Jesus also now provides and protects. He provides, as we looked at last week, the living water. He will provide a joy and a peace that nothing this world can give us. And he'll protect us, as we're going to see later on our last day. He is more powerful than the evil one that's trying to trip us up. And so we can live in this incredible confidence now. The scriptures say in Romans 8 that we are conquerors in Christ. And so that's an incredible thought, because we can live in confidence. We can live courageously knowing, like a father who provides and protects, Jesus, our leader, the one we're following after, the one we're emulating, wanting to become like, right? This same Jesus, not just someday down the road in the millennial kingdom, but now can provide and protect. And so I want to end our time today. And by the way, let me just back up, which means we don't have to worry because God's going to provide. And it also means we don't have to be fearful because he's going to protect us. Those are two big things that rob us of joy, right? Worry and fear. Because he's a father who provides and protects, we don't have to worry about those things in our lives. And so as we continue to follow and worship Jesus, then we can live without fear and without worry. That's incredible thought. That's incredible promise of God to us. I want to close by actually going back to the Old Testament, all the way back to the book of Daniel. And in that book, you have three godly men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they loved the Lord. They were in captivity. They were taken in captivity. And during the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar set up this rule that everyone had to bow and worship him, and or else to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And these three godly men said, no way, we're not doing it. And so sure enough, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. It was so hot that even the people who threw them in ended up being burned and perished, and they were thrown in there. And a miracle happened. They didn't burn. And when the king looked inside the fiery furnace, there were four of them now. Not just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but there was a fourth individual in the fire with them. And I would suggest to you that that was the pre-incarnate Christ. So before he came in the flesh, he visibly showed himself from time to time in the Old Testament and during Jewish history of the Old Testament. That was Jesus in the fire with them. And I want to just leave you with that image today, that we're going to be celebrating here in another week, a little baby in a manger. But remember that that baby in the manger grew up, died on the cross, rose from the dead to defeat the power of sin, Satan, and death. and he sits at the right hand of God. And someday he's going to come back and be served like an everlasting father. But that same Jesus is functioning in that way in our lives now. So you feel like you're in a fiery furnace, you're going through some trials, remember who's in there with you. That Jesus that we're going to celebrate next week. He functions like a father. He provides and he protects. So live without fear and live without worry this week.